Welcome to the Ideas Lab Predictor podcast from the University of Birmingham. In each edition, we hear from an expert in a different field who gives us insider information on key trends, upcoming events, and what they think the near future holds.
Today we are here with Dr. Sarah Fregeneser, who is a Birmingham Fellow at the School of Geography, Earth and Environmental Sciences and the Institute of Conflict, Cooperation and Security here at the University of Birmingham. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Can you tell us a bit about what you do here at the university?
Sure. My research lies at the intersection between political and urban geography. And I am interested in the impact of geopolitics and conflict on everyday urban life.
So it's what the city really impacts on us in a day-to-day situation.
Well, the majority of the world population nowadays lives in cities, which means that, like many other challenges and big questions that humanity faces, issues of conflict, power and territory, and war, peace, equality and inequality, and the controversies and disputes that this creates need to be addressed within cities, within the urban spaces where everyday life unfolds for all of us. So I look in my research at the ways in which phenomena such as conflict and more in general territorial and geopolitical struggles are reflected in cities and the way in which events that are related to world politics happens in cities and influence everyday urban life. And I'm talking about planning, I'm talking about the technologies that we use in cities, I'm talking about urban space, I'm talking about the layout of cities and ultimately how people live their everyday life in cities.
So you recently co-authored a book which is out in July 2013 called The Radical City, Urban Environment, Polarization and Cohesion with Dr. Ralph Brand. What's the idea behind the book?
This book explores the role of the urban environment, from planning to architecture to infrastructure, in processes of social division, but also in processes of social cohesion. The argument of the book, in a nutshell, is that social conditions and urban environments shape each other. We compared this social and material dynamic between four different cities, with very different types of social divisions going on. And according to us, processes like polarization, which is essentially a sort of distanciation of various social groups from each other, for us, polarization and processes of social division are not exclusively phenomena that take place in people's minds. They also take place literally. They happen somewhere. They need the space to develop, and they often develop in cities.
So in the book, you refer to Belfast, Beirut, Amsterdam and Berlin of examples of how this conflict and city relation has occurred. What's significant about these cities?
The book has a comparative approach. We did fieldwork in these four cities. We recorded interview evidence from more than 100 participants with interviews and conversations. This allowed us to provide quite a few concrete examples. These cities are very different from each other. Despite this, they are very telling cases of how more or less blatant or banal elements of the urban environment, from streets to shops to the more obvious fences and barbed wire, are often subject to very heated controversies and, even more importantly, influence the way urban tension, urban conflict, community relations in cities are lived by the residences.
It's almost like like society and the objects that surround society are in a constant conversation with each other. Nothing happens to come first. It's a series of reactions.
Absolutely. It's a series of reactions. That's exactly it. I can give you an example. It comes from one of the case studies we were studying, which is Amsterdam. We observed one neighborhood, Slotervaart, which is in Western Amsterdam. And we observed the various polarization processes, so how tensions between communities were taking place in Slotervaart. One of the interesting findings was how the lack of infrastructure for the local youth was triggering social tension. In return, this social tension was being solved. This social tension was being responded to through other material artifacts such as increased security, increased surveillance, increased CCTVs, increased reinforced architecture. So this other material intervention in turn would create specific social perceptions of the area as unsafe, of the area as perhaps prone to vandalism, as an area that people shouldn't hang out in. So there was an action and reaction.
Cyclical thing.
It's a cyclical thing. The lack of infrastructure for local youth produced this interesting self-feeding phenomenon.
It's just a feeling that you get with the place.
Yes, correct. Yeah. There is something even more specific related to specific objects. In Beirut, the built infrastructure is used to keep political wounds open. There are giant posters of victims of political assassination hanging around town. There is, for example, a clock, a digital clock, that is counting the days that have passed from the assassination of former Prime Minister Rafiq al-Hariri in 2005. There are several of these clocks hanging in different neighborhoods. There is a shrine that is placed in the city center as a constant reminder of this political rift in the country. And these objects are different from memorials because they don't soothe, they don't give a sense of closure to people. Quite the contrary, they keep the political wound open. They remind people of these atrocious events, they remind people of a political division, they remind people of enmity and rivalry.
Is there a thing that you found from your experience or a study that can help city planning or councils make these cities a better and a safer place? What can we reflect on this?
During our research, we went to Belfast. And Belfast is a good case to look at how city practitioners are dealing with rebuilding social relations post-conflict. And we focused on one attempt of the de-escalation and reconciliation, the Stuart Sound Road Regeneration Project, which is in southwest Belfast. This is a project that is located at the interface between a Protestant enclave and a bigger Catholic area. And as you can imagine, during the Troubles, it suffered quite a lot. However, what we found is that over the last decade, community members from both sides, and first of all, women, I must say, developed a more peaceful relationship between them. This was done under the wing of the Belfast Interface Project, so what their efforts led to was the construction of a jointly owned and jointly managed building, which replaced a derelict old row of shops. And the interesting thing about this building is that it stands exactly where the dividing line between the two neighborhoods is. So the building is effectively a peace wall. What the communities did is come up with a series of very careful architectural choices by enrolling architects, by enrolling built environment experts into this political conversation between the two communities. The architecture became part of trust building between communities. It gave them the space to trust each other. So there are two design characteristics that make this building suitable as a shared space. And one is the decision to dedicate very similar community activity spaces to both groups with a shared cafeteria in the middle. And the other decision was creating two entrances to the building, one from each side, one from the Catholic side, one from the Protestant side, with a common corridor that connects the two. So the opportunity for encounter is there. The opportunity for creating trust, carefully, stage by stage, is also there. And it worked. In 2003, the project received an award by the British Urban Regeneration Association, and more shops and even a nursery were opened in this place. And it is not uncommon to find people from both communities having coffee in the same coffee shop, which is a great achievement for a city like Belfast. And indeed, the project became a model for other grassroots initiatives in the city.
Well, thanks for that, Sarah. That's a really positive and interesting use of buildings, which I certainly haven't heard before. So, Dr. Sarah Fregonese, thanks very much.
Thank you.
This podcast and others in the series are available on the Ideas Lab website, www.ideaslabuk.com. There's also information on the free support Ideas Lab has to offer to TV and radio producers, new media producers, and journalists.